Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. Sorry I got distracted there. Just realize we need you in review production, and Tommy sitting over there, what's on the show, sir?
It's the year in review, which we need production for. We don't have production for, so. We're gonna talk about the year that was and the year that's coming. It's year in review / year ahead. It's honestly, I think we're probably going to end up talking maybe more about next year than this year. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But that's the plan.
You told me to add stuff to the draft, and I didn't because two of the things that I have on my mind are not actually industry-related. They are show-related.
Yeah.
So I did not add those. We'll talk about those in a little bit.
That's fine.
But I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited for the industry, and I'm pretty excited for this show, because it seems like we're constantly doing new things now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of freaking me out, because new things are not really what we do.
Yeah. We've been doing this show for 15 years? I don't even know at this point. A long time. Coming on 15 years.
Long time.
And we, like, this year was the first time we did anything like substantial change wise how we do this show. So yeah, we're fairly adverse to change. But I think the new stuff this year has really worked well. It's been fun, like kind of rejuvenating, and I think the show has benefited from it. So yeah. I agree. I think 2018 was a great year for Gaming Uncensored.
And there's more stuff coming that you guys don't know about that we did this week that I'm like, wow, that's freaky. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Me too.
But before we get to that, we gotta talk about 2018, because 2018 was wow.
Yeah, lots of stuff happened, not just for us, but in the gaming industry in general, both with games. Lots of really good game. 2018 is going to go down as a really good year for video games. I don't know that 2019 is. We'll talk about that here a little bit when I started looking at the releases that are on the books right now for 2019. It's not super encouraging, to be honest with you. But 2018 was great. So should we talk about newsy stuff first or games first? What do you think?
You know what? I feel like everybody probably remembers most of the newsy stuff, so let's do what this show is really about, which is about the games.
I agree. I think that's a good call. So I'll mention a couple of big ones, and let's discuss now. The caveat here, and this is as much as I think like 2018 has been a good year for the show in general, it's also been a really hard year for us and me particularly with a newborn to play video games, and so my gaming actual output this year has been pretty heavily reduced.
Well, forget reduced. It's been totally dismal for both of us.
Yeah, it's been really bad. Yeah. Definitely the worst year of us just playing games. But we've still got to play a couple of freakishly fantastic games that came out this year. And so, to me, the two big ones have to be God of War and Red Dead 2. Those are just the kind of the two big ones. So let's talk about those in just a second. I do want to mention a couple of others that were big highlights for me this year, and of course any that you have as well. But my biggest surprise, honestly, from this year game-wise is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That is a fantastic game, just a really good game, and I'm personally really, really happy to see Assassin's Creed being a franchise that I'm again excited about after loving it in its first two iterations and then getting so worn out on it after it came out game after game after game. I don't even know how many are in the franchise at this point, but Assassin's Creed Origins, which I also played this year, and Odyssey feel like a solid revamp of that franchise that it desperately needed. And so good on Ubi for making Assassin's Creed something that's awesome again.
I'm gonna take sort of a different angle on that because it's a great game. I've seen enough of it to know that it's a great game. I'm glad that Assassin's Creed is good again. However, I think the big thing there is how it is currently being delivered for, what, another week or so?
Yeah, I'm not sure when that... I need to look, because I guess I have a deadline on when I get to play that game for free from... And let me be clear, as much as I love this game, I'm not buying it after playing so much of it for free. I really either need to finish it, or I'm not going to finish it, is kind of the thing. Or until it goes on sale for super cheap, where I can pick it up for $10 or whatever. I think you're right. The Project Stream by Google is the evidence I think we've been waiting for that game streaming can work. That it is a viable way to play games, AAA titles that are big and complex. It's not perfect, and we've talked about that on the show, the flaws that it has. But the fact that more than the kind of graphical performance that suffers from time to time, that I've had basically no issues with control and lag on an action game. This isn't like a strategy sim or something like that where timing doesn't matter. The key like combat mechanic in Assassin's Creed Origin is kind of a parry and attack thing that you block with your timing and then you open up the enemy to then kind of lunge in and do your attack, by definition requires timing. And the fact that I can do that seamlessly and have had zero struggles with the input latency on this game is a huge deal. Caveat to all that, I have gigabit fiber internet, and so yeah, that helps. Definitely, when you have 2 or 3 millisecond latency on your internet line, it matters. I'm sure that makes a big difference on my experience versus others. But as internet speeds continue to increase, it's going to continue to make this more viable.
Yeah, and I really feel like that a lot of the success of this is going to depend on the games that are chosen to be streamed.
Absolutely.
Because I think you have to be choosy. I really do. I don't think you can just go and put all of Steam on a streaming service and have it work. I think you're going to have to be very strategic on how they go about that.
Yeah.
And who goes about that.
I agree 100%. I'm interested to see if it continues this kind of Ubi Google thing. You know, like now that like Ubisoft has partnered with Google to successfully showcase Assassin's Creed here, do we see other Ubi games start trickling out from a Google streaming, whatever they end up calling this service? Is it Ubi that's kind of the spearhead company behind that, which would be great if it were? Ubi has some really good games. I would be interested to see.
You know what I'm terrified of?
Huh.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 streaming only.
That would be terrible. Yeah. I don't ever want any of these to be streaming only. And something like Beyond Good and Evil 2, I just can't imagine.
But that's how you make somebody pay for the service.
Yes. that's fair. The pricing, that's the other big thing on Project Stream right now, is that because it's just this kind of beta test kind of thing, that it's free. Once we get into pricing structures and everything else, then it gets a lot more questionable. But if you gave me, like, a monthly subscription for Project Stream that I could play, you know, have to be more games than just UB games, obviously, but that you gave me a selection of AAA titles that performed as well as Assassin's Creed does, I would pay for it. A reasonable amount a month, a Netflix or Hulu kind of amount a month, to access games that way. The success that I've had with Odyssey has just blown my mind. And it's so easy. I would absolutely do it.
Here's an example that I think works. It's not the same thing, but I don't know if you noticed. I did, because I happen to be paying attention to my bank account, but I paid EA another $30 for another year of their service. I feel bad because I haven't touched any of those games that are in the vault and available to me, including Mass Effect, Titanfall, and Titanfall 2, and whatever new stuff is available. I haven't touched any of it. But I don't care, because it was $30. I paid $30. I didn't even think about it. I've got it for another year. I'm going to get to all that stuff eventually. And if I wanted to pay more money to have access to the new stuff, I could have done that too. I don't care that much, because the new stuff is eventually going to end up in the vault, and I'll be able to play it for my $30. So there's that. It's a very similar kind of a thing. You keep it at that price point, I'm gonna keep giving you money whether I use it or not, because it's just, if I want to play an EA game, that's the cheapest way to do it.
They definitely have a good pricing model. It's not streaming, you know, like the streaming thing is the wild card in it of what do you have, and
I understand it's not the same thing, but that analogy is what I have paid for that twice now is totally worth it, whether I use it or not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that $30. But EA may come out with a game and put it in the vault that I absolutely have to play. And if that's the case, then there it is. I've got it.
Yeah. Which is great. It's a way that the video game industry is going. It's not slowing down in the kind of service delivery model. And so we will see more of that. So I'm looking at it right now. A Way Out is on in the vault.
Really?
Yup.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's because I was just looking through it. I was like, surely that's on the premiere. Nope, it's included with Origin Access Basic. So hey, we should play that sometime.
Like, you know what? That's next week. Yeah. You're like, I just changed my mind. I totally told you that I wasn't holding my breath for you to come and hang out with me when you're here. Now I'm demanding it. It has to happen, because we have a way out.
That's crazy. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's on Origin Access. So there you go.
That's insane.
So Fee, which is one of those indie games I've been just kind of looking for and waiting to play, it's on Origin Access as well. And so, some good stuff. so, we should look at that more often, apparently.
Yes. Because, I mean, for crying out loud, they're just sitting there.
There's games I can play.
As if we, you know, don't already have enough to play. Here they sit. Like, yeah. I've been looking at a way out on Steam going, we really need to play that.
I know.
Hey, we have it. We have it. There it is. We didn't even know.
We didn't even know. We have it. So, hey, we're going to play that soon. I'm pumped about it. That's fantastic. So, a bunch of other stuff on here, too. Origin's been saying, I did the same thing. Like, it popped up. It's like, hey, you paid for this. I was like, cool. And didn't think anything of it. But now I'm looking at it and, like, geeked out for some EA games. Can we talk about that for a second? What the crap has happened with EA that, like, all of a sudden EA is, like, not terrible? Like, yeah, EA's been pretty solid, like, for a while now.
Well, here's the thing, okay? EA, to me, because I've been thinking about this, because the guys at work were talking about it this week, about how EA doesn't suck, and they did for a long time. But to me, EA is like a drug addict that could relapse at any time. Like, I mean, like, they're doing real good right now, but all it takes is like 5 minutes of depression and a drug dealer down the street, and it's all down the tubes. I mean, for crying out loud, we're going to talk here a little bit later. I have a feeling this show's going to go long because I'm having fun here. we're going to talk a little bit about Blizzard and some other people that are doing some stupid stuff. I mean, there's stupid stuff going on.
Yeah.
And from companies that we never expected. Like, I'm not holding my breath that EA is not going to fall off the cliff.
Yes.
You know.
100% fair. 100% fair. But right now, pretty solid. You want to hear something else that's weird? Assassin's Creed is on Origin. Both Odyssey and Origins are on EA Origin, which is weird to me. Like, I'm looking for other,
what?
Like, yeah, like other Ubi games or other, like, non-EA games. I don't understand why Assassin's Creed is on EA's platform, but whatever.
How does that, because they have their own platform. Like, how does that work?
I don't have a clue. It just boggled my mind when I was scrolling through games here. It's on sale even. It's $27 to buy Assassin's Creed Odyssey on EA Origin.
Okay, so I have a theory. I want you to go to your Steam cart right now and very slowly, very methodically, back yourself out of Far Cry 5. Because it might somehow weirdly end up in the vault.
Right.
And I really feel like you need to hold your breath right now.
That's fair. It's cheaper on Origin right now, $27, than it is on Steam in the winter sale where it's $30.
I don't even
understand the world. Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Okay. That's weird.
That's weird.
Like, for crying out loud, I hear Rod Sterling's voice in my head going, "You have entered the Twilight Zone."
Yeah.
Like, it's just, where are we?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's like, you're like, I feel like the world might end in, like, the next hour.
Yeah.
Based on what you've just seen. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like we're missing something, like, super obvious about this. And I can't find it. So, whatever.
Cabbage is yelling at the show again, going, guys, hello.
Like, I'm looking for other third-party games, and I just can't find any, like, especially nothing that big. Like, that's huge. It's huge. Anyway, this wasn't where this conversation was supposed to go. Just fascinating that a Ubi game is on EA's platform. But, so, whatever. I'm going to fire up Uplay really quick and see how much they're selling it for on Uplay right now. It'd be funny if you get it cheaper from EA than you can get it from Ubi.
Yeah, I would. We're okay. Yeah, if we said that we are totally easily distractible.
Yes.
We're totally easily distractible.
Yes, that is fair. So, all that being said, while I find my two-code authentication to log into my Uplay thing.
You have two-step authentication on Uplay?
I do. I have it on everything because my stuff tries to get hacked all the time. It's ridiculous.
Like, I have it on the really important stuff, but I don't have it on Uplay.
Yeah. Anything that I've, like, ever put my, like, payment information into, I don't know that I have on Uplay or not. But still, just to be safe, I have it on basically everything. And now it's not, now it's not showing up on my whatever. Forget you, Yubi. there are other games that came out this year that I wanted to mention just briefly on the indie side. Celeste, which is just recent, I've started playing, but I adore. It's just a great indie title. All the accolades it's getting are well deserved. If you like platformers that are challenging, this is a great one. It's challenging, similar to like Cuphead challenging, like where it's not so challenging that you're like, screw it, I never want to play this again. It's just challenging enough that you're like, I can't put this down. Like, I have to get past it. I get a little bit farther every single time, and I have to get past it. So,
okay, so
it straddles that line really well.
I have to request that you put some video of that on, because I am crippled, my hands don't work, yeah. And I will never play that. So... Yeah.
It's tough. It's a challenge, but it's a good challenge. And it's, but outside of the challenge, it's nothing like Cuphead stylistically, gameplay, everything else. It's very different. It's very Metroidvania-ish. It doesn't have the kind of backtracking as much as kind of a Metroidvania where you go back and forth between different areas. It's fairly linear, though there are reasons you want to go back from time to time. But the kind of platforming and gameplay style of it feels like that is this pixel art style. The story's interesting. Like, it's really good. So kudos to them. Frostpunk, I'll mention, came out this year that I love as well. You guys know how much we love this War of Mine. And so in a similar vein, super bummer of a game, but fantastic. And then lastly, I'll mention Stardew Valley on the phone, which Stardew Valley was a game I couldn't talk enough about a couple years ago. And now they got me again. They made me pay for this stupid thing again, and it's fantastic.
They Skyrimmed you.
They Skyrimmed me.
Is that a thing?
That's a good verb.
I just admitted that.
That's fantastic. It should be if it's not already. I got it significantly Skyrimmed by Stardew Valley, and happy about it all the way because it's fantastic. So. So those were the other games outside of the two big ones, which are God of War and Red Dead 2. And so you've seen as much as I've seen of both of those games, and they are just fantastic. And so in the vein of being cliche and being game of the year, I think we'd both agree that one of those is probably game of the year.
Yeah.
I'm curious of which of those two you would opt for.
Right now, today, because we're in chapter 2 of Red Dead, like, we have played enough of Red Dead for me to call that game of the year. It's fantastic. I love it. I think it's one of the best games ever made. But we're in chapter 2. So, right now, and it's all because of our lameness that I have to say this, right now, I think God of War is Game of the Year because we've been all the way through it, and I know that it's fantastic through and through. I have this feeling, I don't know this, but I've heard from a few people that Red Dead kind of falls off at the end.
Yeah.
And so by default, God of War is my game of the year because of where we're at.
I, Yeah, I respect that. I think that's fair, and I'm going to go the other way. So, but I hear you 100%. I think it's good rationale. The reason I'm going for Red Dead instead is it has just captivated me like nothing else, way more than even God of War, which loved.
I'll
God
give
of War
you
is
that.
Fantastic. And it could trail off. That's again, I think maybe likely at this point. I think it would be hard to keep it at the level it starts out at. But that being said, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 did that too. That didn't stop me from loving Grand Theft Auto 5. You know, even if this gets slogging or slow or doesn't, you know, resolve quite the way I want it to, because it's my kind of game, because I love Rockstar games so much, I love Grand Theft Auto games so much, I love the first Red Dead so much, like, they're going to have me all the way through. The open world, the exploration, and the level of detail that's in this game, the narrative isn't going to be as strong to me by the... Let me not say the narrative. I think that's the wrong way to say it. I don't know what the best way to... cohesion?
Cohesion's a good word.
Yeah, it's not going to be as good as God of War because it's a game that lets you choose what your character is. And God of War isn't. Kratos is Kratos. The fun of God of War is like putting yourself into the body of Kratos and playing as that character who has these mannerisms, who is very solidly developed. One of the things that's possibly a flaw of Red Dead 2 is that they're trying to create Arthur Morgan as a deeply developed character while also giving you freedom to develop him, and thus you can kind of break what they designed for him to be, like Cabbage was talking about on the roundtable, where he tried to play Arthur as like a total punk and it really falls apart because that's not kind of the way they intend you to play it. That I can see as Knox, but I'm playing Red Dead 2, I think, very much in the vein of kind of what they envisioned. We mentioned before we fired up the mics, I played just a little bit yesterday, and there was a moment where there's something that happens regularly in the game that you're just riding around, and there's like a prison carriage with somebody locked up in the back, and you can rescue them, and which almost certainly means killing the police that are carrying her. And so I chose to do that. And it like kind of plays into the idea of the honorable outlaw, you know, like it's not that I'm just being a punk in the game. I'm kind of being a punk in the game in that situation. Like I'm killing these cops for no good reason, you know, but I'm doing it because I'm curious to what this character has to offer me story-wise, which was she gave me information about a house we can go rob and that kind of stuff, which is cool, you know, and I want that information in the game, but it's also in playing into that character of being an outlaw. Like you're an outlaw in the game, and so like if you go through the game just playing it as like I'm never going to do outlaw things, like you're missing what they kind of want you to do with that character. Likewise, if you go through it playing with zero honor at all and not doing anything in that kind of honorable outlaw way, it's also going to punish you for that. And so even though it's a decision-based game, you kind of have to make your decisions in the lane of where the game wants you to go. If you do that, the narrative's probably going to be pretty great.
Well, and let's be clear, we're two overly nice guys in everything that we do anyway. Yes. So, yeah, it kind of fits us. And I should have said before you started, by the end of Red Dead, I reserved the right to change my mind.
Fair.
Because, like I said, my whole thing is that we're in chapter two.
Yep.
Like, we still got like 40 hours.
Red Dead 2 will be your game of the year of 2020. That'll be fair. You know, like, that's just the path we're on at this point. So, but part of the reason we're in Chapter 2, because we haven't had a ton of time to play the game, but we're also in Chapter 2 because when we have played the game, we've done lots of other stuff because the game gives you so much other stuff to do that's compelling. And one of the things that I do have a knock on God of War about is while it did have other stuff to do, which is kind of new to God of War in the first place, and I did enjoy doing quite a bit of the other stuff, by the end of the game, I just wasn't like really into going back to go find, you know, these little artifacts or whatever. And there's going to be that stuff in Red Dead 2. For instance, the like cigarette cards in Red Dead 2. And Rockstar's always done that. They've done that stuff with Grand Theft Auto as well. I'm just not into just going and finding trinkets in the world, essentially, you know. But if you give me captivating story that's kind of on these side things, or a really engaging gameplay. So one of the things I did enjoy in God of War was the Valkyrie battles. Those are fun, you know. And
yeah.
So even though they're optional, I like doing those because they're enjoyable. And so stuff like that that's on the side adds to the game. Red Dead just has tons and tons and tons more of that. I mean, that Rockstar set out to make a game that was immersive and living and also has a story kind of alongside with it.
Yeah, I really feel like Red Dead is one of those titles, because we talk about Rockstar games a lot. We talk about how great Grand Theft Auto is every time a new one comes out. Grand Theft Auto 5 is on Steam, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I really need to pick that up, but I don't want to play it on mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
So they're that good, but even as far as Rockstar game, I kind of sort of think that Red Dead, at least right now, is another level from Grand Theft Auto. Because Grand Theft Auto 5 is great. Like, I've heard you say multiple times, Grand Theft Auto 5 may be one of the best games, if not the best game in the series. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 5 is great. I don't think it's Red Dead.
Yeah, that one I've got to get more to Red Dead before I can say definitively. They're going to be on similar levels. And Grand Theft Auto 5 is one of my favorite games of all time. Just a fantastic game. And so Red Dead could end up being one of my favorite games of all time. It's a game that I think about when I'm not playing it. You know, like that,
yeah.
I wish I had more time to play games right now, because I really, really, really want to be in this world. And when I do have a chance to pick it up, it's just like, oh, yes. You know, like it just kind of washes over you. And I'm playing other stuff. Like I'm playing Celeste right now. And I can play Celeste while I'm doing other stuff. I can multitask a little bit easier with that one. That's one bad thing about Red Dead 2, which is the way I play games, is not a good multitasking game. You've kind of got to put yourself into it because it's so slow and deliberate. It's not do a quick thing and then go do something else and come back and do a quick thing and do something else. It takes you half an hour just to get from point A to point B in the game. And so you have to have some time to play it. But I don't like sit around and think about playing Celeste. You know, I'm not like,
right,
while I'm not playing it going, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to this next level or whatever. Like when I pick it up, it's fun. And when I put it down, it's out of mind. Red Dead 2 isn't that way. When I put it down, I'm like, oh man, what should I do next in that game? I want to go hunting sometime. When am I going to learn how to fish in that game? You know, like I'm constantly thinking about like that world. And that to me is a testament to how Rockstar designs games. It's phenomenal.
And here's something that will be in your brain that you haven't really thought of yet. We've been going on for a half hour about Game of the Year. We didn't say a thing about Horizon. We still got half of Horizon Zero Dawn.
And speaking of games that are 2 years, 3 years old or whatever, that will be our Game of the Year at some point.
Right,
maybe that'll be our Game of the Year of 2019.
I mean, like my point is we got games that we got to go back to.
Yep.
That, like, I think about Horizon.
I do too, man.
All
that's
the time.
A good game. That world is phenomenal. So.
And so right. When you've got Red Dead and you've got Horizon that just make you, like, dream about them.
Yeah.
That's a really good place to be.
That is a good place to be. I'll mention, too, a couple of games that aren't on our list because we haven't played them that came out this year that are a big deal. Spider-Man, which, again, probably nobody's given it a game of the year, but everybody's saying it's a really great game. And it's getting at least, like, you know, the nominations, like Assassin's Creed, I would imagine, is kind of in that same place. We've got to play at some point. And then Super Smash Brothers is out, and that's worth mentioning. That's a huge deal. And so I'm considering picking that one up at some point, too. It's tempting as I'm traveling to grab that one because I can do it on the Switch, and that would be really, really nice while traveling. I haven't convinced myself to pull the trigger on that one yet.
Well,
just have too many games, man.
Because, again, I work with three guys that they play games all the time. That's what they do. They're all in their 20s. They have nothing else to do. I hate getting to work in the morning because they're like, yo, what'd you do last night? Worked. I mean, that's kind of, like, the lamest answer, but that's where I'm at. But these guys, they play games all the time. And the discussion that goes on at work is that none of them have a Switch. And they can't bring themselves to buy one because it's just a Smash machine. And I'm going, guys, it is not just a Smash machine. It's $250. Go sell something and buy a Switch.
Yeah.
Go! I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a Switch out there, go get one.
Yeah.
Because it's that good.
I agree, and Zelda alone, speaking of all-time favorite games, Breath of the Wild, we need to revisit our top 10. We do that every couple of years. Breath of the Wild is definitely in that list for me now. I don't know what I'm going to get rid of what I had before, but it's going to bump something because it's fantastic. I adore that game. And Red Dead 2 could end up on there. I don't remember last time we did if Grand Theft Auto 5 was out yet or not. Grand Theft Auto 5 could be on that list for me as well. And so, yeah, there's been some really good games recently.
Yep. So.
That being said, let's quickly mention the games that are coming out in 2019 that we know of, since we're on games right now. So I'm going to go through just kind of quickly on this list, and then we'll talk about what excites us and what doesn't necessarily excite us as much. The Resident Evil 2 remake is coming next month.
I'll take that.
That's pretty great. Kingdom Hearts 3, Anthem, Days Gone, Devil May Cry 5, Ori and the Will of the Wisps I put on there just because I love Ori so
yes.
much. Those are kind of the big ones. And Resident Evil 2, we're pumped about. That's going to be great. Kingdom Hearts, excited about. Anthem, Days Gone, even Devil May Cry are ones I want to play. I don't know if I'll love them or just like them, you know, kind of things. But nothing on that list is Red Dead 2 or God of War.
Nope.
Right? Like, nope. 2019 right now just doesn't have, like, that transcendent title hanging over us. Maybe I'm missing something obvious. And so
if I fail
to pick up a game, let me know, but...
No, I don't think you are because I'm gonna say what I've said for the last couple of years. Ken Levine, if you're listening, where's my BioShock?
Yeah.
Where is my BioShock? Because it's been a long time since we played Infinite, and I may be wrong, but I kind of sort of think Infinite was the last game I finished.
Really?
Like I kind of like that was one of those that
at
I
least
could
big AAA
not,
games.
Yeah, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah,
and like I am constantly thinking, where is my BioShock?
Yeah, yeah. I hope we see new BioShock. It won't come out in 2019.
No,
but I hope we see at E3 or somewhere else a new announcement for BioShock for sure. By the way, BioShock Infinite, I thought was fantastic. A lot of people there was mixed opinions about it because it was so different than the original BioShock that's so well beloved. I loved it. I loved that.
Yeah,
world.
It was awesome.
Super cool. I'll mention Gears 5 is supposed to come out in 2019. We don't actually have a release date on it yet, so I'm a little skeptical. And that would be a good game again. It's not probably Transcendent, God of War, or Red Dead 2. Now, to be fair, I used to always put God of War and Gears of War in the exact same testosterone category. Like, to me, those were the
not two anymore
epitome games of testosterone. Right. Not now, because God of War has changed. The question is, and Gears tried to, like with Gears 4, they got like super sentimental and weird or whatever, you know? I'll be interested to see if they try that still with Gears 5, if they try to take it even more narrative and not just chainsaw bayonet kind of thing that it's been in the past, which I love. Like, don't hear me wrong. I talked about God of War and Gears of War as being testosterone games in a very positive way. I love both of those franchises. But to transcend into what God of War this was this year, you can't just be that. You have to do something bigger. I don't know if Gears is up for it. I just don't know if that game makes sense doing that. And it's fine if it doesn't. I'll love the game still. But it's a different thing.
And I'm about to eat my words to watch this. because I would have said this about God of War until God of War 4 came out. There is nothing in Gears of War, character-wise, that I really want an in-depth story about.
Yes.
Like, Marcus is old and he's passing the torch, and that's what they did in 4. But there's nothing character-wise, and I would have said this exact same thing about Kratos and God of War. Right now, there's nothing in Gears, and I'm like, I gotta have some story there.
Yeah.
I really think you have to be in a certain type of universe to tell that type of story.
Yeah.
And I don't think Gears is really it.
I agree. And if anything, I fear that it'll actually hurt the game if they try too hard to squeeze it into that kind of God of War style narrative. Gears is great. I don't want it to be screwed up by trying to be something that it just doesn't fit with. So, one other wild card I'll throw out there, because this game right now, again, they're telling us that it's a 2019, and this is probably the game that somebody has screamed at us about already listening to the podcast. But because it doesn't have a firm release date, I'm pretty skeptical that we'll actually see it next year. But if we do, it could be the game. It could be that one that stands out, that is transcendent. That's the Outer Worlds, which we just saw from the Game Awards, the trailer from Obsidian's Fallout-ish thing, kind of sci-fi western thing. If they execute this, it will be fantastic. It has the potential to be an, like, it's Fallout meets Firefly, you know, is what it very much feels like, and that is super exciting. If that comes out in 2019, that probably and is good. We're making a big assumption there, but I think it's a fairly safe assumption. If they pull that one off, I think that'll be our big game of 2019.
You were just talking about games that you think about when you're not playing them. I haven't played New Vegas in 2 years.
Yeah.
I still think about New Vegas. That's fair. How good New Vegas is. And I know that you have not played it. You haven't touched it. You haven't been involved with it. And at this point, you would...
What does that cost on Steam right now?
Like $2, but you'll never play it. Because you'll fire it up and you'll go, ooh, this is not good. And you'll never play it.
I mean, go find some mods for it, whatever. Like, make that thing awesome.
But
it's, I kid you not, $329.
Dude, buy that.
Yeah, it's going
buy,
in the car.
Buy all the DLC. You gotta have that. Don't even worry about putting that in the show account. You buy that for yourself and just make me a New Year's resolution that you're gonna play that, because
I'll buy it. Playing it's gonna be a different. I need to. I know I do.
I don't know how to explain it to you, and maybe Cabbage can help me on the next round table, but Fallout 3 was good. Okay, Fallout 3 was a great game. New Vegas is better. Like, It's not even close.
Yeah.
I can't say anything because I put a grand total of like 4 hours in Fallout 4. But I think New Vegas is better than Fallout 4.
Yeah, I think you would be at the majority of people that think that. New Vegas is hugely popular. And so, yeah, it's in my cart now. We'll see if I get to playing it, but I'll definitely have it. The Ultimate Edition, by the way, with everything, $10. So that seems worth it.
Yeah,
thank you, Steam Sale.
It is worth it because I played the whole game, and then I played two pieces of the DLC, and the DLC was good.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally worth it. Find some time to like take Far Cry out of your cart and buy a New Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, Far Cry show up on EA Origin now. And
yeah.
By the way, I finally got into my Ubi account. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, $30 on Uplay, $27 on EA Origin. Origin, just
that's weird.
I don't even understand. And I'm really curious because, like, with I bought Assassin's Creed Origins on Steam, but then it made me log into my Uplay account to play it, which I thought was weird. And playing Odyssey on Project Stream for Google, I also had to log into my Uplay account to access it. So I'm curious if, like, you buy it on EA Origin and then you hit launch and it brings up Uplay. I'm sure it does. I can't imagine it wouldn't if it does it on other platforms.
I'm certain
it
boggles
my mind.
I'm certain that it does because that's Ubi being crappy. I talked about that with Splinter Cell. It doesn't matter where you buy their games. At this point, you have to fire up their software to play them, which, you know, that's kind of lame. Like, if I buy it on Steam, why do I have to fire up another piece of software?
I know.
But, okay.
I agree with you there. On the Google Ubi kind of partnership world, the reason it took me so long to log in is because I just forgot that the two-step verification for Ubi is through the Google Authenticator. And so I had to just pull up the Google Authenticator on my phone, which is an app and easy to do or whatever. But I just forgot that's where it is. But yet another place that Google and Ubi are playing together nicely. And we know Google's been trying to get in the game world for a long time. It's interesting that Ubi seems to be the conduit, at least right now, that's getting their foothold there. So for what that is and transitions us well into looking forward to 2019 of what we think may happen, big things that can happen. One I'll mention really quick, because it would be newsworthy if we're just doing a regular show today, because we haven't talked about it yet, really. Talking about Steam and the winter sale and everything else, which is great, Steam has significant competition now in the Epic Games Store, which is really new still, but a thing that Epic put out their own game store that they're obviously doing first-party stuff on, but they're pushing hard for a lot of third-party stuff on it as well. And it's legit. Like, so far, like, they're doing it. And granted, Epic has Fortnite, and Fortnite is massive. And so that gives them a leg in into lots of different areas. But I love this in that I think it's great for Steam to have competition. I love Steam, and they've been doing great stuff for a lot of years. But they've been a little bit too comfortable. And having a little competition will make them maybe work a little harder. Specifically, what Epic has done is they have made the incentives for putting games on their platform a lot more appealing to developers by giving them a bigger cut. And I think that's going to maybe force Steam to start giving developers a little bit bigger cut as well, which I think is probably good for the industry.
That's good for everybody, but I love the way that you put that, because I don't take the Epic Games Store seriously yet, because the big selling point of the Epic Games Store is Fortnite, and I don't care. I love what they're doing for developers. I hope it becomes a bigger deal, and you have it later on in the quote unquote show notes that possibly in 2019 there's going to be a Exodus concerning Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be 2019 or not, but I do believe Fortnite ain't always going to be Fortnite.
Yes.
And then by that point, is the Epic Games Store put together enough and got enough developers and all of that to stand on its own 2 feet?
Yeah.
That would be awesome, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a completely fair question. It's right now, I just pulled up the Epic Game. I'm just pulling up every single game store that's available during this show, apparently. But I just opened up the Epic Game Store so I can look around it a little bit as we're talking about it. And right now, it's very simple. If you're used to Steam and the depth of Steam, especially like I just saw a news story earlier today about like one of the issues with the Epic Game Store right now is there's no real community access point as far as forums and that kind of stuff. And so a lot of people are buying games on the Epic Game Store and then going to Steam to talk about them. It's just that Steam has a platform where you can talk about them. And so there's obviously things that this store needs to do to ever be at a similar level of Steam. But what they have done for geeky people like me, of course, Fortnite is their foot into a lot of things, and I don't care about Fortnite really. But the new Supergiant game, Hades, is on the Epic Games Store in early access. And Cabbage talked about that as a great game, and he wasn't even really sure what's early access about it. Like he said, it felt like a complete game. They're also doing like free games every 2 weeks. Their free game right now is Subnautica, which is a game that I've had on my Steam wish list for a long time. And even on the Steam sale, it's like 20-something bucks still. It's kind of this underwater, people have compared it to Minecraft, which isn't what I was interested in, but it is VR compatible, which is what I'm interested in.
Nice.
I don't know if the version off the Epic Games Store is, but I'll check it out. But it's free. Like, they have that game for free. They're putting up Super Meat Boy for free next week. And every 2 weeks, they're just going to have a free game up there. And those are both, you know, solid titles, especially kind of gamery titles. And so, they have a long way to go before they're anywhere on the level with Steam. But The Walking Dead, used to be Telltale series, still says Telltale series, is coming to the Epic Games Store. They have some others. I'm just looking through quickly on here to see if there's anything else. Of course, all the Epic games, as I just saw an Unreal Tournament thing pop up, and Fortnite and all the Fortnite stuff you could ever want. You can get through there, obviously. But yeah, it's not Steam, but it's competition for Steam. And if nothing else, it's going to make Steam work a little harder, which I'm all in support of.
And I think it's kind of funny. They started all of this. Nobody probably remembers, but they started all of this with Shadow Complex.
Uh-huh.
I played a good chunk of Shadow Complex
great
for free. Because of the Epic, at that point, it was the Epic downloader or something. You had to have that to actually have that on my backup drive. Because I was like, if I wipe my system, do I still have access to my Shadow Complex? Which is probably not. But that's what started this. And that was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think they got a bill on it for the next 4 or 5 before Gabe and Steam start getting real worried.
I agree there. It is and will be for the foreseeable future, second fiddle at best. Discord is like trying to get into this world too and all kinds of other stuff. And so it may flame out and never turn into a thing. But what Epic has now that they haven't had in the past is the resources that Fortnite has brought them. You know?
Like, yes.
The massive amount of money that they've made off of a free game, which is pretty mind-boggling, that they can branch out and do stuff. And the Battle Royale bubble isn't going to last forever. We know that, and so does Epic. You know, like, they realize that Fortnite is a perpetual money for them. Like, at some point, people are going to stop with that. And so them using that to figure out other ways to connect with the gaming community is wise. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I think it's a good idea, even if it flames out. I still think we as gamers win because it puts competition in the marketplace, and that's a helpful thing. So. A couple other things for predictions for 2019 or things to look for. This is my maybe bold prediction for 2019. I think it's a big year for Microsoft. I think this is Microsoft's year to make or break whatever they're doing in the future. And I think they'll deliver. I really do. I'm hopeful they'll deliver again because I think competition is good. But I think this is going to be a year where Microsoft kind of figures out their future in a time when Sony maybe is going to be flying under the radar.
Again, I'm going to take a different kind of angle. I hope it's a big year for Microsoft because they don't really have a choice.
Right.
They can't have another year the way they've had the last four. And it's not about the money. It's not about going broke because it's Microsoft. That ain't going to happen. But if you're going to stay in the gaming market, you got to pick it up. I mean, I saw this. Again, I work with three 20-something-year-old guys that all they do is watch YouTube and read Reddit. And so we're sitting at lunch the other day eating Taco Bell, watching, you know, a versus battle on YouTube talking about the PlayStation 2, the GameCube, and the original Xbox. And I'm not talking about this particular versus battle, but when the Xbox came out, when you and I started talking about it on this show, everything that the Xbox had, nobody else had.
Yeah.
Like, they had the best games. They had the online. They had the gamer community. They had all of that. They had Xbox Gold, which for a long time, we paid $50 for, and it was an absolute no-brainer. They had all of that.
Yep.
And the mistake that they made with the 360 and even where they are now is that they've kind of been living off of that this whole time. And your run is kind of coming to, like, you can only live off that for so long.
Yeah. I don't disagree in general. I think, you know, the Xbox 360 is when they hit their stride, and that's just a fantastic console. And it feels right. Like the Xbox One has been kind of living off of that.
Right.
But they have started laying the groundwork for a big future. At the end of the day, it's the games. And so what they deliver games-wise is going to be the most important part as far as the success going forward. But one of the things that they've done that's a huge deal is the Xbox Game Pass, which has fantastic games that come to that service on launch day for $10 a month or whatever it is. That's just crazy. Like, it's just, again, if you have an Xbox One, it's a must-have service. What we used to call Xbox Live Gold was a must-have service in the day. This is now. Like, you got to have it if you have an Xbox One. The thing is they've got to convince us that we have to have an Xbox One before we have the service. Or, and this is where I think it's going into 2019, what do they sell us or how do they sell us on the new console? Because I think I'm almost certain we'll see the new console, the new Microsoft console in 2019, at least the announcement of it, maybe even the release of it. I don't know. That may be a little bit ahead of schedule, but it wouldn't surprise me if by holiday we have a new Xbox console on the market. That would be a big deal, and they would likely be ahead of Sony in that if they did it that way. And if they do it with the streaming stuff that they're talking about, if they can make that work, again, we've seen that it's a viable thing. If they can really make it viable in a hybrid way with a console that does part of the processing and streams part of the game or whatever, if they could do that with some compelling games and keep this service economy that they have going right now kind of going, it could be a really, really big deal. It's all contingent, though, on games. And they have a chance at E3 to steal the show because they're not going to be directly, at least during E3, probably competing with Sony. Now, if Sony does their own event like parallel to E3, then they are. And that's likely, I don't know if likely, but very possible that Sony would do that.
It's going to happen. Like, they're not...
They're going to do something. It's just how much of something do they do.
Sony is not going to be asleep during E3 while Microsoft is doing whatever.
But
they
do they do a big presentation thing, or do they do a Nintendo Live kind of thing?
No, I think it's going to be huge.
If they do a huge thing, then I don't know. It'll be interesting. That's maybe my biggest wild card for 2019. It's just, what the crap is E3 this year? You know, like, what is going to be happening? What announcements are going to come pre-E3? What consoles are we going to hear about pre-E3? Does Sony come out with an announcement in, you know, March or April? Does Microsoft come out with an announcement in March or April? I don't know, man. That's what I'm excited about. I think the gaming industry is just going to be fun on the newsiness of it in 2019, even if the games are not as exciting.
I want you to think about something, because I woke up thinking about this. Our desktops that we have sitting in front of us, mine is on, it's purring nicely, and I love it so much, even though I don't get to play the games that I want to play because I don't have time. Our machines, as of right now, are 2 years old. Like, this is year two of these machines, basically. And if Microsoft is going to release a new console, you got to give me a compelling reason why I have to have that hardware. Because I woke up with the realization that my machine is 2 years old. And the interesting thing about our machines that we built is that I'm sitting here debating, how long can I go before I've got to swap out the graphics card?
Yeah.
And then can I get 2, 3, 4 more years out of it, because I'm running an i7 chip at 4.5 gigahertz overclocked. I mean, I don't think I need a faster chip unless I just want to be a hardware whore.
Right.
So, which, by the way, I love hardware. But my point being, Microsoft, what are you going to put in your hardware to drive the software that I have to have? Because the thing with the NVIDIA chips right now, everybody says ray tracing, ray tracing, ray tracing. You know what's gonna sell those chips? It's not really about the ray tracing. It's about the software that those video cards are driving. You give me a piece of software. If Duff calls us and says, guys, I got this thing, and you got to have a 2080, we're going to go, okay. And if he doesn't buy it for us, we're going to go out and get whatever the thing is. Right. Like, that's the thing, Microsoft. You can roll out whatever kind of box that you want, and the hardware can be awesome, but hardware's been awesome for a while, and it's going to continue to be awesome.
Yep.
And you got to show us something we haven't seen before.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And that's what I don't know, but hope that they can deliver on. That's the whole ball game is give me something compelling to play. If you've got great services that support that, if you've got great hardware that supports that, whatever, awesome. And that's going to make me all that more excited about it. But you first have to give me something compelling to play. And that's Microsoft's biggest issue right now, is that they just don't have enough exclusively that's compelling to play. And Crackdown 3, isn't it? You know, like, I need something other than that.
Right, and the crazy thing to me is, and I woke up thinking about this, is that I am going to have to, and I think you're in the same boat, I'm going to have to buy a new Mac before I have to do anything with my PC. And I don't want to buy a new Mac. And the whole reason that I built this machine was to Hackintosh it. So if I Hackintosh it, and I'm getting back around to the console in a minute, and sort of this cross-platform thing that we've been talking about the whole show. The Microsoft games are going to be awesome, but what else are you going to offer? Are you going to make deals with other people to get their stuff exclusively on your machine?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the key to all of it. Because nobody, well, I guess people probably remember, but Halo was not a Microsoft Studios game.
Right.
It was a Bungie game that they bought. You got to do that again.
Yep.
And if
you give us really good Halo, by the way.
Yeah.
That'll go a long ways to doing that. We know it's coming. We got the nice little teaser last year, and so we know it's coming. We just need it now. That's something that can sell a new system.
Yeah, and if what I was trying to say with the Apple analogy is your hardware's got to be versatile. Like, you can't... We've been talking about streaming the whole show, and you can't really bank on streaming, so you got to be able to go either way.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to have a beast of a machine that if somebody has a gigabit fiber connection, they can stream if they want to and not use all that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Absolutely. Thing. It's about the versatility. I had a point when I was talking about hacking my machine, and that was it. It's about the versatility.
Yeah, and I think we'll see both of those from Microsoft, I imagine. We'll see those two versions. And I will be having a gigabit internet connection to my house, tempted to go the cheaper route if they give us some compelling games and the technology is shown to work well. You know, like that's the thing I'm most interested to see going forward. Whether or not it actually pans out, I don't know. But I'm really interested to see if they can pull that off. And if so, I think it's a game changer. I think that's a pretty revolutionary moment in the history of gaming. So
that's pretty funny that you say that, because this show has a budget and you're probably not going to pay for anything. So.
That's fair. that's absolutely true. So it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And with that is a good place to wrap it up for now. We've got tons more that we'll talk about getting into the new year, obviously, and there's going to be lots happening. But we do have to say thank you, guys, everybody who supports us over on Patreon and otherwise. We could not do this. We say this every year, but we could not do this without you. Specifically, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and Firestorm, who joined us on the last roundtable. We appreciate you guys a ton for everything you do. It's awesome. And I, for one, am looking to another awesome year, 2019. Who knows what's going to happen, but it's going to be fun. We'll be here for it.
Do we have time for predictions of the show? Because I have a couple.
Yes, do that.
I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we've done stuff that we've never done before. Starting this week, this show is being advertised.
Weird.
We are paying Facebook to advertise this, and it's kind of crazy that people from different parts of the United States are getting access to the roundtable post that may not have ever seen it. Like, I have likes on that post from people, and I'm like, who are you? Like,
right.
That's different for us. And the reason that we did it, and we talk about it a lot, and I hate to talk about it and then not be able to play games the way that we are, but we're really trying to move this show into something more than, hey, Jamie and Tommy sitting around with our little hobby doing what it is that we do, because that's cool, but for us to keep doing it, it really needs to be something else because of the time stuff. So we're really trying to make it viable from a financial standpoint so that we can bring you guys more content, so absolutely. We can get sponsors, so we can, like, because if there's sponsorships and if there's all of that, then Tommy and I've got to look really seriously at, hey, we've got to spend time on the show. And that's something that you Patreon guys are doing that you don't realize. Like, we're taking your money, and I came to Tommy's place, and then I lost my voice. And so now I'm looking at the calendar going, okay, I got to get back. Like, yep. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what time it takes. I got to get back because those guys are invested in us. So believe it or not, guys, that makes a huge difference. So I have two predictions. One is that I believe this is the year that we will be going to see Duff. I don't know what makes me say that, but I think this is the year that you and I are going to the island.
That would be fantastic. I would take it.
And Tommy's freaking out because he's like, how?
I got a baby in the next room.
Right.
But I would take it.
But I think I have in my brain that this is going to be the year we're going to go over there, and we may not come home because Duff is Duff, and we may not come home. Yeah. But I believe that's going to happen this year. I also believe that something major is going to happen with this show on the advertising front. That's why I'm playing with Facebook. That's why we're looking at different things, because I really feel like that this year in 2019, Gaming Uncensored is going to be more than Tommy and I sitting around doing what we do. And the thing that proves that to me is the roundtable. I believe the roundtable may be the best content that we do whenever we do it. We're supposed to do it once a month, and we don't, but I think it might be the best content that we do. And I have this idea that Gaming Uncensored may become a community-based show instead of just us. Because I truly believe the roundtable may be the best thing that we do.
Yeah.
And those are my two predictions for the show. And he's sitting over there. He hadn't said a word. And so now I'm wondering what he thinks.
I love it. I agree with the roundtable being the at least for me personally, it's the most fun thing we do. It's just really enjoyable to get to chat with the guys. I dig it a ton. So
I
think those are great. I'm trying to think of what I would add to it. I'm more in the, like, I have no clue. Like, I don't know what E3 is going to look like this year. Like, with things being different in the gaming world and that kind of stuff. Things, and the fact that we've changed things in 2018, which we haven't done in so long. Like, 2019 super exciting in that, like, I think there's just gonna be unexpected stuff. So things you said would be unexpected would be great. I'm just excited. I'm pumped that we're here. I'm excited to see what the new year brings, for sure.
I can't wait for the idea that in 2019 the little girl's gonna be older, and we're getting to the point where whether her mother likes it or not, she may start to become the sort of the mascot for the show, which I'm stupid excited about.
Isn't that the truth?
I'm really excited about that. Yeah. We say it every year. I love this show. We have a caveat that if we ever get to the point where we are so busy that we absolutely stop playing games, this show will stop. But because of you guys, keeping us in it, we're not going anywhere.
Yep.
Because now we're responsible to other people that take care of us. Like, we, as long as stuff is breathing, we can't quit.
That's the truth.
So, to all of you Patreon guys, I don't think you understand, even Chad. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I don't think you guys understand how important you are to keeping Tommy and I here, and I'm so very thankful. And with all of that being said, we got a wrap.
Yep. I concur 100%. Absolutely.
I don't even know where to go. so I will say, you can send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. You can hit the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
You can hit up the Facebook page because there's crazy things going on over there.
Yeah, we've good got, community over there, by the way. If you haven't
yes,
been on the Facebook page, that's a good place to connect. I love it over there.
It's a great place to connect, and I got to be honest, we mentioned our buddy Firestorm. Firestorm is over there, and Firestorm is loud over there. He starts people talking about stuff, and he's actually the one that got me thinking about the community aspect of this show and how I think that's going to be really huge. So if you haven't been over there, please go over there. Check out the Twitter, because Tommy's all over the Twitter. I think before we die, we might actually be good at Twitter.
Maybe.
So definitely check that out. We've got all kinds of other stuff going on, so go by the website. Pay attention over there, because whatever happens, you're going to know about it there first. So, with all of that said, are we done?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and it's been another year at Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.